Tonight, the death toll rising from extreme cold gripping the nation. Snow and ice whiting out roads, dozens of vehicles in a massive pileup. Over 200 million blasted with below freezing temps. Tonight, the new storm threat brewing. Al Roker is tracking it. Violence exploding in Iran, at least 20 killed in clashes in the streets. Iran's supreme leader blaming outside enemies as President Trump cheers on protesters. The family of one of the 10 Americans killed in a plane crash in Costa Rica speaking out.
I was so proud to be your mom. I love you to death.
Now, U.S. investigators on the ground to determine what went wrong. Under fire, the YouTube star who shared a shocking video with his 15 million followers, many of them children. Tonight, the backlash. And California's new gold rush inside the world's largest market for legal recreational pot.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West and Happy New Year. It's great to be back with you. Millions of Americans made the post-holiday trek back to work and schools today in the teeth of an Arctic blast that has left at least 15 people dead and triggered wind chill advisories and freeze warnings from the Deep South, where a state of emergency was just declared in Georgia, to New England. The cold wave has made for perilous travel on icy roads, left firefighters battling both fire and ice, and turned the Niagara Falls into a chilling still life. And for some, the worst is yet to come. Our Blake McCoy has the latest.
Tonight, 19 degrees and snowing in Buffalo.
Look at that.
A massive pileup is snarling Interstate 90. A foreboding look at what's to come with a major snowstorm set to move up the East Coast.
Look at that truck.
Much of the country already sits under the grip of a brutal deep freeze, contributing to at least 15 deaths. In Chicago, the fourth day in a row of below zero temperatures.
It's biting in the face, just cold. There's no way around it. I don't think you can really prepare.
More than half the U.S. population, 200 million Americans, saw temperatures below freezing today. From the north at Niagara Falls, down south to Savannah. 23 people were hurt in Bronx, New York, including a firefighter, as they battled against the elements, fire and ice. Hoses, helmets, and ladders frozen. Frozen pipes, a common sight in the Midwest. This Illinois house caught fire when the homeowner tried to thaw the pipes with a blowtorch.
I would not recommend a homeowner trying to torch. I would not recommend that. This is for professional use only.
Check out this close call near Dallas when a police officer slipped and fell on an icy highway as a car nearly slid into him. It's not all bad. The crisp, clear air should make for ideal viewing of tonight's supermoon. Ice fishermen are happily dropping their lines. But Amber Martin isn't looking for silver linings.
I couldn't even tell you how many inches thick of ice that it has on it.
She's looking for a way out.
Speaking of getting out, travel is going to be even more difficult starting tomorrow with that snowstorm developing off the East Coast. Drivers and flyers will be impacted. Some airlines are already offering waivers. Lester?
All right, Blake McCoy, thanks. Let's turn to Al Roker, who's here and tracking that new winter storm threat. Al?
That's right, Lester. We're going to get some moderation to these temperatures, but then, boy, we get hit again this weekend from Minneapolis, Nashville, Raleigh, New York City, Detroit, all with some temperatures well below freezing and below zero. And we've got winter weather advisories for 21 million people from Florida. First time since this time of year that we've had winter storm warnings. In 4 years, a wintry mix for tomorrow morning up into the mid-Atlantic states, Charleston, Wilmington, on into Raleigh, Norfolk going to see problems. And then for the morning rush in the northeast from Philadelphia, New York, Boston, all the way into Bangor, we're talking about heavy snow, strong winds, blizzard-like conditions possible for Boston, and snowfall amounts from eastern Long Island all the way up the coast into New England. We're talking upwards of 8 to 12 inches of snow. And Lester, if this system moves a little further to the west, we could be talking about heavier snow in New York, Philly, all the way down to Washington. So this still bears watching.
All right, Al Roker, thanks very much. Now to major developments in two hot spots we're watching around the globe. In Iran, at least 20 people have been killed in clashes between anti-government protesters and security forces. While South Korea says it's ready to take up Kim Jong-un's surprise offer for new talks just weeks ahead of the Winter Olympics. We've got it all covered from both flashpoints tonight, beginning with the latest on the widespread protests in Iran. From NBC's chief foreign affairs correspondent, Andrea Mitchell.
Stunning protests rarely seen in Iran. Cars burning, buildings in flames. A poster of the all-powerful supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, is trampled. Chants of death to the dictator. Now Khamenei blaming the U.S., saying the enemy is waiting for an opportunity for a crack through which it can infiltrate, a claim strongly rejected by the administration.
We all know that's complete nonsense. The demonstrations are completely spontaneous.
Unlike Iran's last major protests over disputed elections in 2009, these were sparked by frustration over a weak economy. Starting in the city of Mashhad, smaller but for the first time spreading nationwide. President Trump supporting the protests, tweeting, "The people of Iran are finally acting against the brutal and corrupt Iranian regime. The U.S. is watching." And earlier tweeting, "Time for change."
Is he calling for regime change?
I think what the president is talking about is exactly what the Iranian people are saying, that they want change. They want the government to start taking care of them.
But could the Trump tweets backfire, sparking a crackdown?
What we can do is, again, give the regime the excuse to come down very, very hard on them.
The U.S. caught off guard by the protests, but now encouraging them. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News at the State Department.
I'm Kelly Kobiea in Seoul. Tonight, U.S. military sources tell NBC News Kim Jong-un might be about to test another ballistic missile. What would be a dramatic move after his surprising call for talks with South Korea, saying he wants to ease tensions. South Korean officials now suggesting a meeting Tuesday at the most dangerous border on Earth, the demilitarized zone, in these buildings known as Truce Village, where guards stare each other down. Not far from where a North Korean soldier was shot in November during a desperate escape to South Korea. Now, talk of North Korea's figure skaters gliding across the border for the Winter Games with Kim Jong-un's blessing. President Trump weighing in. Sanctions and other pressures are beginning to have a big impact on North Korea. Rocket Man now wants to talk to South Korea for the first time. Perhaps that is good news, perhaps not. We will see. Kim Jong-un already claiming he has a nuclear button on his desk, that his missiles, like this one launched in November, can reach all the way to the East Coast. Although experts say there are still technical hurdles to cross.
I think we have a 10% chance of a full-on war on the Korean Peninsula. Here's the good news. I think there's still a 70% chance we can resolve this diplomatically.
It's now Wednesday morning here in Seoul, and so far, no response from the North Korean regime to that invitation from the South. Lester?
Kelly Kobiea tonight, thanks. And on another tense global front, President Trump took to Twitter late today and threatened to cut off all aid to the Palestinians. Acknowledging the stalled peace process, the president accused the Palestinians of refusing to negotiate, saying, quote, "Why should we make any of these massive future payments to them?" This comes after the president made the controversial decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital and eventually move the U.S. embassy there. Investigators from the FAA and NTSB arrived tonight in Costa Rica to help determine what caused a small plane to slam into a mountain, killing a dozen people. And now we're learning more about the victims, including 10 Americans. One family speaking out tonight about their loss. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez with their stories.
By all accounts, Amanda Geisler was fearless. 33 years old, prime of her life.
She loved with all of her heart, and she would do anything for anyone.
Now, her family is heartbroken.
She had this light that nobody else has.
Amanda grew up in Wisconsin, a college basketball standout, loved adventure. She'd been working as a trip leader for a travel company since May.
And that was the magic of this young... She could do things and move people.
She was among the 10 Americans plus two local crew members killed Sunday when a single-engine Nature airplane slammed into a mountain in Costa Rica. Also gone in an instant, the Weiss family from near Tampa, Florida, and the Steinbergs from suburban New York.
We're still just trying to digest it. Family goes on vacation and they don't come back.
Another Nature Air flight crashed in September. Today, Costa Rica's civil aviation director told NBC News he did not believe it indicates a larger safety issue with the airline. But for Amanda Geisler's mother...
Amanda, I was so proud to be your mom. I love you to death.
It's not why that matters. It's who was lost. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News.
And in other news tonight, a new gold rush of sorts has kicked off in California now that the sale of recreational marijuana has become legal there with the new year. Now hundreds of new businesses are cropping up and looking to cash in. NBC's Jacob Soboroff takes us inside the new pot bonanza.
At day one of recreational pot sales at MedMen, they're hoping lines multiple city blocks long will help them cash in on what researchers project to be $5 billion in newly legal pot sales.
Why do you come here versus another dispensary?
This is the nicest store I've ever been in, and it is like an Apple store.
MedMen expects their clientele to quadruple, lured in by sleek stores like this one.
This particular strain is called
Dr. J's Lateris OG.
Whatever that means. I don't know.
In the Salinas Valley, marijuana entrepreneur Steve D'Angelo's been refurbishing greenhouses to grow cannabis, and lots of it.
You've been waiting on this moment a really long time.
I have been working for and struggling towards this moment for my entire adult life.
He hopes by taking a page from modern agriculture and producing pot on a massive scale, he'll become a brand name in weed.
So to me, this almost looks like you could be growing anything in here. You could be growing anything we might find in the supermarket.
Yeah, you can grow cannabis in greenhouses that is equal or superior in quality to the cannabis that's grown in warehouses. It's also a much less expensive way.
As D'Angelo works to increase production at his greenhouses, he too is working to expand his medical marijuana dispensaries.
This location is almost like ground zero. How many more of these are you going to open across California?
We expect to have a statewide footprint within 3 years and hope to be able to take this model out to the rest of the world.
In a country where marijuana is still federally illegal, not everyone's happy. But nobody ever is in a gold rush, and this one is officially underway. Jacob Soboroff, NBC News, Los Angeles.
The widow of a Colorado deputy killed in a New Year's Eve ambush is honoring her husband's memory and opening up about her family's terrible tragedy. And we're also learning new details tonight about the gunman and the disturbing video trail he left behind. We get the latest from NBC's Steve Patterson.
The widow of slain deputy Zachary Parrish held their daughters close as she spoke to a packed memorial.
And I will do everything in my power, Zach Parrish, to honor you.
One of the girls whispering to her mom, it's okay. Deputy Parrish was killed allegedly by 37-year-old Matthew Reel, firing more than 100 rounds, wounding four more deputies and two bystanders.
The window was
bullets flew across the courtyard into Farouk Patil's apartment, one of them striking his arm.
I thought myself, it's all over, and with God's blessing, I'm still alive.
I'm not here to hurt anybody, but yes, I do have firearms.
Chilling new video, obtained by GetBarDaily.com and NBC affiliate KUSA, shows Reel recording himself rambling, drinking, then calling 911, saying he'd been the victim of a domestic assault. But when deputies arrive, Reel becomes agitated, barricades himself, and takes aim.
Leave me alone! Go! Get out!
And here at the scene, you can see just how riddled the shooter's apartment unit is. Take a look up there. One window busted out, the other draped in a flag with a skull and two assault rifles. A veteran and lawyer with no criminal record, Reel's motive remains a mystery. For this young family, the grief is all too clear.
And I will raise these girls to love you.
Steve Patterson, NBC News, Littleton, Colorado.
This new year also off to a tragic start for America's military after a U.S. service member was killed in a combat engagement in Afghanistan. Four others were injured near the border with Pakistan in an area that's become a stronghold for ISIS. The name of the slain American is being withheld pending notification of family. Still ahead, what are your children watching online? A YouTube star facing big backlash for sharing something horrific with his millions of followers, many of them young kids. Also, those who serve, the women making sure America's fallen heroes never make their final journey alone. Hope you can stay with us. We're back now with the outrage over a shocking video posted online by a YouTube star. He's now apologizing after sharing what appears to be images of a suicide victim with his 15 million followers, many of them kids, raising new questions about what our children should be able to see on the internet. We get more from NBC's Joe Fryer.
With more than 15 million followers, most of them millennials and younger, YouTube star Logan Paul is known for making daily video blogs that detail his life.
Let's jump out of a plane and hopefully not die.
Clips that are often funny and high energy. But Paul's latest video is a low-key apology.
I've made a severe and continuous lapse in my judgment.
Paul is facing a strong backlash for a video of him and friends walking through a Japanese forest, a place known as a destination for suicides.
Seriously, you think that's real?
The video, viewed by millions before it was deleted, showed a body hanging an apparent suicide victim.
I should have never posted the video. I should have put the cameras down.
Forbes ranked Paul fourth on its list of highest-paid YouTube stars, saying he made $12.5 million in a year. Often some worry these online stars are looking to push the envelope.
Because there's so much competition for that ad money and for the clicks, they're going out of their way to shock the viewer.
In his written apology, Paul says, "I didn't do it for views. I get views. I did it because I thought I could make a positive ripple on the internet."
Well, you never stand next to a dead guy.
But mental health experts say showing a dead body doesn't raise awareness about suicide.
If somebody sees a harmful image, it can negatively impact the distress that they're already experiencing.
YouTube says Paul's video did violate its policies. In the wake of this, suicide prevention groups hope people will realize they can reach out for help. Joe Fryer, NBC News.
All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, do you have lotto fever? There's still time left to get your tickets for two massive jackpots. The longest-serving Republican in the Senate is retiring. Utah's Orrin Hatch says he will not run for re-election this year after 41 years in office, despite President Trump urging him to seek another term. This could open up a path for outspoken Trump critic Mitt Romney, who's rumored to be considering a run for Hatch's seat. Do you have your Mega Millions and Powerball tickets? Nearly $800 million is up for grabs in the combined jackpots this week, $361 million in tonight's Mega Millions and $440 million in Wednesday's Powerball. The odds of winning both? Roughly 1 in 75 quadrillion. And a familiar face is now a permanent fixture on the 7 to 9 o'clock hours of the Today Show. Congratulations to Hoda Kotb, who has officially been named co-anchor alongside Savannah Guthrie. Hoda has co-hosted the fourth hour of Today since 2008. She replaces Matt Lauer, who was fired for sexual misconduct. We are all very proud and thrilled for Hoda. She's awesome. When we come back, the women offering a final salute to America's fallen heroes. Those Who Serve is next. Finally tonight, let me share with you a story about a special group of women who stand for those who stood for us. Known as the Arlington Ladies, they are comforting figures at virtually every funeral at Arlington National Cemetery, each representing a branch of the military in honoring those who served. Most of us don't know their names, but we do recognize their duty and sacrifice.
We want to celebrate with you his great spirit and his love for his family.
But if only for an hour, an Arlington lady is family. And sometimes, as in burials like this one, the only family present when an American patriot is laid to rest here.
When we're at that funeral, we're paying respect, honor, dignity.
They have attended hundreds of burials and stood with hundreds of families, starting with the Air Force in 1948. Today, they are part of virtually every Arlington funeral.
After the flag is presented, we move forward to the next of kin, usually a spouse, and present the card from the chief of staff and also a personal note from the Arlington ladies.
All of them have personal connections to the military. They are not professional mourners.
Quite the opposite. And I am presenting to them any comfort I possibly can, and they have two extra ears, two shoulders to lean on, two hands to hold at one of the most difficult times in their life.
They have to balance emotions with being a comforting presence.
That is the hardest thing, is the emotion. It's difficult. It's difficult.
Too difficult for some volunteers.
They literally self-eliminate when they break down and they hear the rifle volleys. that's one of the toughest things. You hear the rifle volley, and then you hear taps.
Taps. It's hard.
This gentleman is from World War I.
The funerals, a timeline of America's wars.
I think we're just about through with the Second World War now. Then there's Korea, and we're into Korea.
No matter when or how they served, they can know this.
The idea is that no one here is buried alone.
That's correct. Correct. That's exactly right.
Neither buried alone or forgotten. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us as we begin a new year. That is Nightly News for this Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.